From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Welcome to the Forum for the Fans, the Big Blue deep. Show, Big Blue Roundtable. Steve, Chris, and the stakeholders, man. Chris, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, that beat is back, man. Hey, so you know what it is. It's time for us to go right on in, Steve, talk about this special Giants team that we got, a special Giants team. Let's put it that way. let's just rock and roll, man. I'm all right over here, man. Just weathered the storm a little bit. Got a little damp sun. But I'm here. Hey, look, everybody cool. Lives haven't been lost, put it that way.
So, I'm
feeling pretty good.
I'll be honest with you, man. After this episode, I'm going to sleep, man. I am that tired. It's been all day cleanup. Yeah. The storm from Louisiana all the way up through middle Atlantic to all the way up through here to PA and Jersey and New York. I'm exhausted, dude. I'm beat, man.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to lie. Because you know what, Chris? The thing is, was last night during the Nick episode or the NBA episode, however you want to look at it, that's when it was really coming down. It was after that episode, it was the night just started to begin for me. That's how long my night started. I've been up all night. I've never seen nothing like this, dude. God bless everybody in Louisiana and Mississippi and all the way up through Tennessee and all the path through Maryland, Jersey, New York, throughout New England. And I'm just beat, man. This is crazy, man. What was your thoughts, man? We could jump into the football and change the mindset.
No. I just have to get a new deck. So I don't know. The guy will come here tomorrow. The insurance dude will be here tomorrow for that. We'll figure that out.
Right.
You know what I was thinking? You just reminded me of something. New Orleans has an opening game, and then they play us on their fourth in week four, I think it is. They can't play in that joint. They're gonna have to move them games. I'm pretty sure they do.
I was actually talking to Giant fans on social media over the week about that, and this is even before they relocated opening night for Saints and Packers to Jacksonville. I thought it would have been I was thinking Dallas at that point because
that
Dallas is in Tampa, right? So I thought thinking Dallas. But they made it Jacksonville, and I honestly believe, and I said this before even they changed the first game, I think the Giants are going to Jacksonville, honestly, in week four. That's my guess. I thought either Houston, I looked at the schedules.
Right.
I looked at all their schedules, Dallas, Houston, all of them in that area. Houston actually is on the road in Buffalo, I believe, so that it made sense. But I think they'll be in Jacksonville week four. I don't think they're going back to New Orleans. I've seen too much carnage from people right on the ground, Louisianans, people from New Orleans. So, yeah, I think that game, whoever, if they're going to that game, I think it's going to be moved to at least Jacksonville, or if not, they're somewhere else. But I think that's what's going to happen.
All right. So it is the Bleed Blue Show. What are we going to do, Steve? We're going to holler about the AFC and NFC. And we're going to go over last week's game against the Patriots. if you want to call it. You know what? I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me. And this is for everybody that's listening on the line. I am just not – this is since childhood. I just cannot get into the preseason, bro. I have never been – I tried. And what made it worse was when I was trying in the mid-80s, Tuna messed it up for me. Parcells messed it up because he said, hey, basically the whole four games at the time, it was four games, he said all four games are tryouts for him. He's not trying to win at all. And that gave me an out. I went, oh, okay. And after that, my psyche has been ruined. So it's hard for me sometimes. But I did make a concerted effort, Steve, to watch this preseason. I really did. So I tried to.
To be honest with you, to give you an answer to my response, the only game I really watched was the one versus the Patriots, the recent one. I did see some of the game versus Cleveland, but it was literally like the third string, fourth string players out there, and it was no interest. I saw a little bit of clips of the Snoopy Bowl versus the Jets, and that's like blah, whatever. I actually had to go back and watch it on tape. I didn't watch it live. But yeah, Chris, the only thing I can say, I like the fact that fans somewhat engaged. They started trolling again. That means Big Blue Football is back. NFL is back because I've seen a lot of fans talking shit about how the season's over and all that. So it's that little instant. Damn, football right around the corner. And that reminds me, next Thursday, we'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific, West Coast time. We got the preview versus the Broncos. I got to get create the list of games for the points, for the confidence points. I got to do that before the next episode. And we'll have a full round table. I'm pretty sure we have everybody.
You
got to
get some sleep first, Steve. You got to get some sleep first.
No, I'm going to do it later. Tail end of the weekend, probably before the baseball on Monday. So we'll get into all that. Let's get the guys on and let's talk. So we can talk about this preseason if you want to talk
about it.
All right.
The C-Note, Carl, at the C-Note. Where you at, man? What's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
A pleasant good evening, gentlemen. Still enjoying my vacation out the country here in Belize. Got a few more days here. And I call it the calm before the fall storm. That's how I've looked at it.
I hate you, by the way. Just want you to
know. It's got to be nice out there, isn't it?
It is humid. Very, very humid.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it. I will take it, and I'll take a couple of glasses of those mimosas while you're at it. Goodness gracious. So, man, thank you so much, man, for being so much of a diehard Blue Blue fan that you are, man. And right in the middle of your vacation, you're going to have muck it up with talking about this team.
one more thing before
The sun is going down right now. And I guess for those that watched that preseason game, apparently folks are thinking that the sun is going down in the football season early on. But I feel like we've got a long way to go.
Hey, Carl, we had a 5-4 road trip. Carl, we had a 5-4 baseball road trip. I said we got out kind of scot free since the Monday episode, man. I think I'll take it. The baseball team. You was on with the baseball.
Yes, the market correction has played out in the last couple of days, but Cole tried to get them back yesterday in that game that they closed out that series. But it's going to be a tough road here this last month as they try to hold down that wild card spot with the Red Sox chasing after them.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Man.
All right, go ahead, Chris. You got one thing. I got something for you guys after that.
No. I'm just saying, it's a baseball analysis. Go ahead. I was just saying, it almost seems the Red Sox are our new, your Knicks fan, the Red Sox are our new Orioles, man. It's like Tampa Bay has just cast this gigantic shadow. It's daunting. I don't know what to say, but that's okay. We'll save that for the baseball episode. Whew. They're tough. They're really tough. No, Steve. 929-477-4171 is our number. For everybody listening in, you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Bleed Blue Show, W Blue Show, the Bleed Blue Show. So, like Steve just alluded to, next week is going to be the preview show for Denver, the Denver game, our opening game. I hope, Steve and Carl, that we can... Can we break this cycle, please? Can we please break this cycle? In 2017, we started off 2-11. In 2018, we was 1-7. 2019, we was 2-11. Last year, we was 1-7. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. I can't take it anymore. And I know a lot of people out there echoing that. We need Tony back. I'm sorry about him going through COVID, but he needs to come back. He needs to start, I should say. Galladay, dude, we missed 11 games last year. We signed a big time. We expect you back, man. We expect you to go to work. Okay, that's offense. There's nothing really to. You know what, Steve? We were like, and Carl, we were supposed to go over this Patriots game last week. I gotta tell you, my whole thing has been inconclusive. Steve alluded to it earlier. We saw what we saw, and nothing was definitive. But I do have some questions. I'm gonna let you guys go ahead first. I do have some questions about some of the cuts and some of the additions. So go ahead and fire away.
Oh, I did too. I did too. Were you talking about the Odenigbo release as far as him, you know, with the Giants signing him with the $1 million guarantee and you're releasing the guy, putting that against your cap? Like, what did you think about that as far as the Gettleman? This is
I didn't understand
lit.
It.
This is something lit.
You know
Bo
what,
Bonson
Steve?
For, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Why?
Steve,
like, why did, and then number two, hold on. And number two, I got to get both you and Carl's thoughts on the trade earlier in the week with, you know, B.J. Hill traded for Billy Price. And I haven't heard from Billy Price in a minute. And I wondered what was going on with Billy Price over there in Cincinnati. And I try to keep knowledgeable fans in different fan bases so they can keep me up to speed. And Billy Price has been injured a lot, and he's been underachieving. So what is the – are they saying – Gates is not the answer at center? Are they saying they're trying to plug in the hole at guard? Or what are we doing here with that trade? I understand what Cincinnati was doing because they aren't trying to pay him a lot of money on that final year of his contract, but why was the Giants taking that on? Those are my questions for you guys if you guys want to answer.
You go ahead and fire away, C-Note.
So let's as far as the cuts go, I guess I don't have any particular issue in regards to who was cut because what I've noticed a pattern now of the last 4 years where it seems like the team has been sort of recycling the, let's just say, the 35th to 53rd man on the roster for about 4 years now. And it has me very concerned that 4 years into this quote-unquote project, that number should not be as high as it appears to be, that we're just sort of shuffling names around, you know, kind of like, you know, musical chairs in a lot of ways. You know, we should be at the point in this process where we're only really talking about when the cutdown day ends, we're only talking about three guys, four guys, you know, maybe a move here or there, not wholesale reshuffling. And I feel as if we're in that sort of pattern with, maybe it's 40 to 53. I'll shrink the number. But it just seems as if for whatever reason, you know, we have not fortified the roster enough over this period of time to where the last few decisions to be made are what we would consider to be inconsequential decisions. We're to the point where we wouldn't even really be arguing about, you know, certain guys here or certain guys there. At best, they'd be borderline fourth or fifth starter. So that's that issue. Now, the offensive line. Now, folks, we've been having a conversation like this for months, right? And there has been two sides. There has been one side who believes that the Giants needed to fortify its offensive line. It was not good enough. Last year we proved that. It wasn't good enough. Pass protection, all that. And then there's another side that has been putting out that the offensive line, quote-unquote, got better in 2020. And all that was needed to make the, quote-unquote, leap in 2021 was better coaching. And the other way, I guess, would just be more time to gel. That's a phrase I like to use. Well, clearly the team doesn't believe because of what we've seen in the last week. Every backup that they brought in this offseason didn't make the final 53-man roster. That should tell you something. The fact that they had to then make moves on the offensive line to, you know, I know Lemieux was hurt, so they had to find a replacement for that. And then I guess Pert now is not up to speed enough to start games, which I guess folks, fans thought he was, and clearly that has now been the case. That's not really the case. Solder apparently is going to be starting in 10 days when the season begins. That was not in anybody's plans when we were drawing this up in January, February, March, April, May, and so on. So that tells me that the offensive line experiment that the team has been putting out there, the misinformation basically, is what it is. That we have a team right now where those five guys are almost set up in a situation where they are set to derail this season before it really ever gets started again. And if we have that conversation again for like the 27th straight year that the offensive line is holding the team back, then what have we been doing all of this time?
I don't know how to follow that. That was so succinct, sir.
Well,
I
know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I know who can answer that. Let's bring him on. Let him get a crack at it. And if Carl wants to reiterate the question, let's bring on the author of the hopefully the future bestseller of New York Times, FULL, Coaching the Game.
There he comes.
Teaching the Life. Manny Dog.
There he comes.
What's going on, man? Listen, holy
A copy on
listen,
Apple
Carl,
Books, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Carl dropped a gem right there, man. Carl dropped a gem. Listen, I don't know where to start right now with being beside myself. I'm so serious, like, and I feel like Carl is absolutely right. We do this every year. It feels like. Let me touch on the linebacker situation. You get rid of two linebackers who've been in the system, right, with Lalos and Devontae Davis,
yes.
And you bring two new guys in who have no idea what the system is.
Right.
How does this make sense to me? You can't make it make sense. You don't take somebody who's already been in the system that's been working, and you can't say it's a contract thing. So that move baffled my mind. Then we get a guard and a center. And for the longest time, we've been saying that the guards aren't that bad. The guards are pretty decent. Will Hernandez is growing, the whole thing. Lemieux came in. He balled out. What we need has always been fortifying the tackle. Getting depth at the tackle position. And this romper room ring around the rosy thing going on with the shuffling of offensive line. Like this just it can't be good, man. It nothing about this says it's going to end well. I would love to eat crow on it. I would love to be the first one to say, yeah, I was wrong, but it doesn't make sense. I'm chest deep in camp right now for my team, and I'm moving around pieces, right? And I'm moving around guys on my O-line and trying to see who's going to fit where. But to bring in guys, to bring in some new kids 1 week from game to think they're going to figure it out? No, that's absolutely backwards and asinine. I don't get it, man. And the releasing of Sills was blasphemous.
Oh, God.
Blasphemous. You play preseason to find out who's a dog, right? And some dumb article I read said, the other guys do special. You don't need 27 special teams guys. What we need is a surefire thing where that could make an impact at receiver. And Phil showed he could do that. Calling John Ross, paging John Ross. He's hurt again. He can run a 4-2. Great. He can't run it if he's not on the field.
Yep.
So that release was absolutely backwards to me. Absolutely backwards to me. Guys that I thought played well in the preseason all got cut, and it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It really made me question what was the logic. Were the Giants just rolling out a tryout for the rest of the league so they could come look at what we giving everybody else, hey, look, hey, guys, go do a showcase. We did a showcase for the rest of the league to say, oh, yeah, we want that one and that one and that one. Because it doesn't make sense, man, and it has me just scratching my head. I don't know what we're doing. And I'm going to call, and I'll finish with that. I'm going to call in. If we're talking about the offensive line again, this is year four in a row? This is all on front office. If we are still hog mollies, we're going to get the hog mollies. We're going to fix the hog mollies. I'm tired of hearing that shit, and we still shuffling. If you was going to do that, you might as well use your last four drafts on O-line. Because this is ridiculous. That's all I got for right now.
It is.
Well, can I have a follow-up to both of them?
Yes, sir.
But my biggest question, I get the cuts, and a lot of the guys that we didn't do much in the preseason, and the guys that did something got cut, and that don't make sense to me like you guys reiterated. But what about contractually? My other question about you signed the guy in Odenigbo, $1 million, $1 million is still $1 million, and you're just going to let him go like that? Like, you could have figured out the way to make it work out? And then, a guy I like, Chris, you already know how I feel about Plasgoomer. You know, he had the best run in the preseason.
Yep.
I think, yeah.
Yep.
You saw what he did from the 1 yard line. I don't care if it's against third team or fourth team. Are you trying to tell me Booker's that much of the answer behind Saquon Barkley? You know what I'm saying? You like, like what Manny Dawes just said, like Corey Clement is a decent third string running back. Right? I think so. I think he has some okay, carries in Philadelphia. The moment we cut him, like Manny Dawson, Dallas picks him right up. Like, you're like, oh, thank you, New York Giants. What are you thinking? Like, quickly. Like,
right.
And then it's things like what Manny Dawson is saying, is Carl Woodham is saying, is like myself and fans are saying. It's like the Giants front office has like backdoor deals with these teams. All right, if we let these guys go, well, we'll hook you up on some NFL event we got pulling type shit. It's like it doesn't make sense. Like the linebackers, like you said, those dudes, with Lalas and Devontae Downs. Are you serious? Like Downs had a.
I know.
You fooled me because he had an okay year last year, but the contract was bothering me. Like, the money. You guys, you're cutting guys, you're signing for. If they can answer that part, how do you feel about wasting money?
You want to jump on that first, Carl?
Yeah, Carl, you jump on that.
Manny, go ahead.
Okay. When you talk, again, it makes you look at the front office and go, do you not know how – I'll give you an example. It's like my ex-wife, right? If I gave my ex-wife $100 and said, go grocery shopping, right? She's coming back with three bags. If I go grocery shopping, I'm coming back with 12 bags with $100. And this is what the Giants do. They don't know how to shop. They don't know how to budget. They don't know how to handle their bottom line. It's like they don't know how to pick these things and get the bang for their buck. They waste so much money on people that we shouldn't be wasting money on. Ted, we couldn't make that kid from Minnesota work.
Really?
If you don't think he's worth it, why lead with that money? Why lead with that? I'm looking at our depth chart, man, and I'm getting sick. Like, I absolutely hated the Devontae Booker pickup, and I hate it even more now because that's another guy that we spent a lot of money. He is the great value brand of Rashad Jennings.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He is great value brand. And we spent money on this guy. to a point where we had Corey Clement, who, in my opinion, outplayed him.
He did.
And we all know Brightwell was better than him. Brightwell's,
he
it looks
was
like
too.
He's off. He's still on the squad. I don't know if they're going to put him. And Pat Gummer's still on the squad. We had three other backs better than Devontae Booker.
Mm-hmm.
But we tied up this money into him, so we got to keep him. It's ridiculous. They don't know. The front office this has to go to Ghetto Bum. This has to go to Ghetto Bum. I've been easy. If y'all go back in the archives, I've been up off Ghetto Bum. I haven't been as hard as some of my counterparts, right? I'm still hard on them, but I've been a little off the gas. This shit right here makes me go, this is why DB wants to decapitate the dude every week. Every
yep.
week, just because mm-hmm. of these types of moves. It doesn't make sense. It's on you, Carl.
So, Carl.
Whoops, wait, give me 1 second. You guys go ahead. I got someone at the door. I'll be back.
Okay, okay. Chris, what's your thoughts, Chris,
okay,
and then I'll get some of that.
I think Carl's been gone for like 5 days or so, he said. I forgot. All I know is that the offensive line we had when he was here is not the offensive line we have now. You know, man, you're right, man. They got rid of just the offensive line. Harrison, Slade, Barton, Larson, Heggie, and Wiggins. Okay? And you brought in Billy Price is still, believe it or not, even though he's 2018 draft pick, first round draft pick, exactly. He basically is a rookie in, as far as his experience. And Ben Bredesen, he is a rookie. He was All American last year. But to Manny's point, why did you do all of this shuffling just this week when we have a game coming up next week? That's not enough time to gel. And that shit like that gives me a fucking headache. It really does. Also, speaking of our offense, and you've already alluded to this, let me tell you something. David Sills is getting ready to ball out someplace, okay? I don't understand. We've got a 6'3", 210-pound receiver. He makes that 50-50 mm-hmm. ball in traffic. They signed him. He had great promise. I think he hurt his foot last year, but this year he balled the fuck out in preseason, right? He doesn't have great breakaway speed, but he runs his routes like nobody's business. He separates from all of his. This is the guy we want. This is the guy you keep. This is the guy you don't let go. But then, Steve's point, you know, I think he's the man, odd man out because the John Ross shit, okay? Gettleman had to save his face on that one,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and also, Joe Judge is also an old-school special teams guy, and get ready, I keep calling this guy Kenny Sills. Sills is just, he doesn't possess that skill, you know what I mean? He's not that dude. My hope is that I know he's on a practice squad now, but I really, really don't. If he goes somewhere else, he's going to ball out and make an embarrassing living shit out of us. And Steve, you also remember him because he was that receiver for Will Greer a couple of years ago at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That was catching mm-hmm. in traffic. He was that guy. We were looking at that dude, and he's like, oh, that motherfucker can ball. That was him. So that bothers me. That's my problem. That guy right there. You don't let. We've been looking for a dude like that forever, ever since Plaxico. You get him. He possesses all the skill set we need, and they cut him. The Giants are going to regret that. I just wanted to get that out. They're going to regret that cut. They're going to regret Devontae Downs, as far as I'm concerned, too. So we'll see. And Corey Clement. They may just don't let me get started with that shit. We should have kept him last year too. We always have a problem with Corey Clement.
I know.
Well, we talked.
And they made it.
Well, we
like,
talked about
they made
that.
It seem like, hold on, real quick, Carl. I'm just going to say this real quick. You can go ahead and fire away. They made it seem like that fumble he had in the Patriot game, like was like his fate. Like you can't be serious. Of all the other decent runs he had up until that point,
yeah,
that's his breaking point. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Chris and I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Chris, didn't we have that discussion about that fumble? That might cost him?
Yeah.
That thing was in the Jet game, I remember. When that happened, and I remember, I think I had the number. It was like, I think in his career, he's had one fumble every 33 times he touches the ball. Anywhere between 30 and 33, whatever that number is. It's somewhere in
something
that
like
vicinity.
That.
And so when you factor in the rate of how often he fumbles the ball, that was right off the bat going to be a red flag. The second he fumbled the ball, I said, okay, that's probably going to be the end of him. And that's pretty much what happened. I think from that moment on, that was stuck in everybody's head, and he was not going to make this team. On Booker, they're paying him $2.5 million. Remember, they paid him $2.5 million on the first day of free agency. They could have paid him like $600,000. And if you remember, if you notice, Wayne Gallman was cut by the 49ers. You know, so like the same production that you could have gotten for basically, you know, the league minimum or just above that, you know, $700,000, $800,000. They're paying this guy $2.5 million, and I don't even know what specific value he brings to the team exactly. Like, he's not a change of pace. It's not like I don't understand.
I'm glad you said that. I have a question for all of you. And here's the question. It's a two-word question. And I want to give it to you real quick, Carl, and then I want Manny to do it, and I definitely want Steve to close this out. Here's my question. Andrew Thomas.
I'm glad you went there.
Guided.
Because I had that. I've been dying to ask this question all night. Well, go ahead. Can I add on to that question, Chris, for you?
Go ahead.
Percentage of fault of why the Giants failed this season, Andrew Thomas. Between him and
15%.
How much you said?
15.
15, okay. Misguided. Why misguided, if you want to explain that one?
So what I'm thinking is, if you remember, before he was drafted, a lot of the what I'm going to refer to as misinformation coming out of the team was that this particular player was, because of, at the time, remember, COVID had just sort of started. No one knew exactly how training camp was going to go, mini camps and whatever. And it was told to the public, at least the Giant viewing public, or listening public, or fan public, however you want to phrase it, that this guy was the most pro-ready left tackle available to be drafted of the four that were selected. And that because of the virtual stuff and all the stuff, that he would be best prepared to handle all of those plug-and-play situations because of the circumstances that had come about. Now, we fast forward about April to now is about 18 months, just about 17, 18 months. And the stuff now that we hear is that he has problems with his hand placement. He has problems with his feet. He has all these sort of issues that was somehow never brought up at the time he was drafted. But if you look back at some of the scouting reports of him with flaws, I actually read about it late last week after the game, actually. And all the scouting flaws about him doing exactly what he's doing right now was reported then. So then the question is he simply just doing what he's always been doing? Or was it a misevaluation of this particular player to the point where the other three guys, if you do any research on them, Becton, none of them have reports about him, about them being this sort of misguided, not misguided, but, you know, miscast player. Only him, only Thomas, the guy who was taken fourth in the draft, has these sort of flaws that are being pointed out by defenders each and going on here. And so it makes me wonder, what exactly were they evaluating at the time he was drafted?
Okay. Manny, let's go to you. Chris's question. Yeah, oh, that was not even a question. You said two words, right? And then we put a percentage.
That was
on
the question.
I'm ready to explode right now because you said those two. That name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Carl, to answer your question about what they saw, what they reported, they fell in love. While I was in the Senior Bowl, I saw an offensive tackle. I saw he was out there in the huddle, and I knew he was an offensive. That's the type of fucking evaluating they do. They look, and Dave Gettleman goes, that's the guy. And he doesn't study. Here's the thing. I wasn't overly angry at the pick, right? I really wasn't. I wanted Becton or Wilkes, but whatever. I thought these are going to be four guys. They're going to be okay, right? I started watching some tape, and I noticed he played more right tackle than he did left tackle. For Georgia, he played more right tackle than he did left tackle. They moved him around a lot. Okay, when you're moving an offensive lineman around a lot, it's because you're working on his. You're taking advantage of his athleticism. So, which means he can move in space well. Okay, cool. However, when we're talking about straight offensive line fundamentals and techniques, when this dude, and I almost said MF. When this dude said, well, I'm still working on wanting to make sure I get to my spot and not necessarily the guy, I wanted to punch my TV. He's still working. You know what he's doing? You ever teach somebody how to dance? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. That's what he's doing. He's a starting left tackle for the New York Football Giants going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Are you kidding me? Makes me think about, okay, maybe Colombo saw this.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw this.
Yeah.
And was trying to kick this guy's ass. And they was and they pampered him. Or they said, no, you got to be easy. Or whatever they did. But he didn't quite bless. I gave him a pass last year. I thought, he turned out okay. He was thrown to the Wolves. But are we looking at a new Flowers? Is this what we're looking at? Because it looked a lot like if it walks like a Flowers and it blocks like a Flowers, it's probably a Flowers. You understand what I'm saying?
I got to come clean, man. Before you go off on me, Manny, I got to come clean. I remember that draft night show we had, and I said it on that episode. They said that he was the safest pick, and I said, man, that feels like Air Flowers all over again. Go back in the archives. And I hope I didn't jinx the fan base by saying that, man. But go ahead, continue.
No, I heard it. Oh, no, I remember
it.
I remember that, man. I just didn't think it was. I thought this was a tackle. I thought that was the tackle rich class. Like it was just you. Out of those four,
I don't know,
it was a wrong pick. I really just think you're not going to go wrong with any of them. So that's why I gave us a pass. But good God, man. Once I heard, like he reminded me of DeAndre Baker when he was saying. What he was doing, like I remember DeAndre was like, I read the playbook, I don't know the plays. When he said, I'm just working to get to my spot, dude, that is the most outside of the quarterback. The left tackle is the second most important position in the whole game.
Right.
You have to be the main.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, man.
Chris,
do you have any thoughts on that? I have absolutely nothing to add. You guys read my mind.
Oh. It's hard, man. I want to give Daniel Jones a little bit of leeway. And, as far as you know, let's be real. That Patriot preseason game was all about Daniel Jones. We all wanted to see that. You know, forget the first couple of games. That was it was all about him and see what he was going to do. And I know the red zone pick is the biggest glare of what he did that day, last week or whatever it was. Biggest glare. However, I will say this, even just trying to manufacture a drive, he didn't even have in some of those snaps and dropbacks. He literally had no time to step up in the pocket and set his feet because Andrew Thomas was getting beat on the edge like a drum. So as much as I like, I'm going to say most of it as far as percentage-wise dividing it between quarterback and left tackle, I'm putting most of the onus on quarterback. However, the left tackle, I mean, this is not good. And this goes into what when we're going to wrap up on this episode with the divisions on, you know, Washington, Dallas, Philly. You know, where do we stand going into the 17-game season? We will be okay if those two positions alone was just hold and serve. We will be okay this season.
Yeah.
This season is going to be made or break between left tackle and quarterback. Hands down,
yep.
That's going to cost us the season or a division. And then can we go, Chris, we would be negligent if we didn't bring up Daniel Jones. Carl, can you, I know we've had tons of
talk.
If you could quickly give us a quick analysis or your thoughts on Daniel Jones versus the Patriots. Good, bad, the ugly. Manny Dawg, same thing. So we can have enough time to get to the AFC East and the NFC East before we wrap up. What's your thoughts on Daniel Jones as far as, you know, that preseason game? Because that game was all about him, honestly, for the Giants side of things. And then on the Patriots side, it was about Matt Jones and Cam Newton. But on the Giants side, it was about our quarterback. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, when I didn't see the game live, I saw it afterwards. So initially, when I first saw the crawl that listed Jones's numbers, you looked at the numbers and said, "Oh, okay, well, that's pretty impressive." I said, "Let me go see the tape. Let me see exactly what was going on." And what I saw going on is there were three things that were happening. But to your point, the offensive line was making defenders at his feet quickly. So he's basically unable to throw the ball past 5 yards. Because there's no time to develop anything. The play in the end zone with the interception, that's something that we've kind of seen from him now going on 3 years that we thought would have been corrected by now. For some reason, folks are blaming him not having, quote-unquote, his full complement of weapons. But that play is independent of that. Like, the poor decision-making like that, you don't say, "Oh, well, if Barkley was on the field or Galladay was on the field, he doesn't make that same decision." You don't know that. Like, I don't know where that analysis is coming from. That has to change because what's going to happen here is that starting in 10 days, the Giants are going to be playing once again with a very, very small margin of error. I would expect the defense to be good, but because of the issues with the offensive line, games are probably going to be pretty low scoring to where a poor decision like that, assuming it happens again, is going to cost them games early on the season. And that can no longer be an acceptable part of the discussion with him anymore. I said I was going to hold back on any sort of legitimate analysis on him until September the 12th. I'm still going to hold to that. Unfortunately, the term that was used for months, and you guys have probably heard it, was no excuses in terms of number 8 this season. Well, I would make the case if the offensive line is going to be as poor as we see it to possibly be, then there would be a very good reason for his eventual poor performance.
All right, Manny.
Here's what I
would say, bro.
This would be a question that I would have for anybody who is hopeful about Daniel Jones after the Patriots game. Based on what? What are you basing this hope on? Based on what? Show me. Listen, Daniel Jones is the He reminds me of Jay Cutler. He will wow you with certain things, right? He'll wow. He's like, man, he's got 12 completions in a row. He is lighting it up. He'll get to the 5-yard line and throw a rope to the defensive tackle. And you go, what the, what was that? What, where? Why? You can't, this is year 3, 4, whatever it is. We can't keep yelling why. Not at this point. Not at this point. Offensive line troubles and all that. Okay. Remember, everybody was saying he's an athletic guy. Use your feet. Use your feet. Run the rock. It doesn't make sense. Daniel Jones, again, I don't have a lot of hope in Daniel Jones because what am I basing it off of? His body of work tells me he's going to do the same thing. And when he had the opportunity to show, look, guys, I've grown. This is my one preseason game, and I'm going to show y'all what this new look is going to look like. We got all the way downfield, got excited, and he said, I'm about to Jones this up. And he did. So, anyhow, based on
what? I don't have an answer for that. I have an answer, but
no, we have to go on to the next topic. But I would,
we should. But I'll just throw this out there, just for a perspective. Do you guys find it really? I don't even know the word. I would call it embarrassing, or is it sad that Patrick Mahomes had more snaps in the preseason than Daniel Jones? Do you guys? The impact of just saying that. Meaning we didn't get enough reps for a guy who has nowhere near the number of snaps as a guy who's won, you know, a Super Bowl, MVPs, you know, like what's
it probably
like,
has
you know, the
a
Giants
worse
are
line.
It probably has
the worst line.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. I hear you.
I said he probably has a worse line. Mahomes probably has a worse line than Daniel Jones.
Oh no! He does not. The Chiefs completely upgraded their offensive line. They traded for Brown from Baltimore. They signed Joe Thuney to a contract. Kyle Long came
Brown
out of retirement.
Brown was a good pick,
that,
but what
the offensive line? Yeah, they completely changed that.
And I still saw Pat Mahomes running for his life in preseason, making the same throws he was making in the Super Bowl. So on paper, yes. On paper, they got a better line. But I just can't. There's no reason why Daniel Jones wasn't out there. He needed
a ball
Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
All of you are right on your point. And on that note, I'm going to say for the record, as a diehard, totally blue bleeding fan, that Daniel Jones is the wrong quarterback for the New York Football Giants. This is a mistake. He doesn't show any improvement in 3 years, and the season hasn't even begun yet. I think this is going to be another train wreck. I have no faith in our offense at this point. It's not just him. It's the line, too. And I see Saquon walking. I just see bad, bad moon rising. That's what I see. Okay? This is bad. And you know where it got worse? Just listening to you guys because you guys know what the fuck you're talking about. You know, this is the forum where I needed to hear and get reassurances. And if you guys said it, I know it's on point. I don't even know what else to tell you. This is bad. You know what he does? He needs to prove me wrong. He needs to put some egg on my face. You know.
Well, then, Chris,
because my
that,
problem. Go ahead.
Well, Chris, does that mean that the Vegas line that I've been mentioning, the over-under number that I've been mentioning for months, does that mean that is really accurate then? Remember, the number is 7 and has not moved.
I think it may be. I think it may be, because one thing I did, and I don't know if this counts as being under the bro man thing, but I'm gonna press it anyway. But but Manny Dog alludes to that all the damn time. Okay? You can see it. See, it's just not on the field with just decision making. It's the trust that your teammates have in you. It's the trust that and the confidence that this coaching staff fills you with and confides you with. And these guys, your Patrick Mahomes, your Aaron Rodgers, even my man, the young boy over there and Heisman Trophy guy over there in Cincinnati, they have this they have this particular swagger where they know exactly what the hell is going to happen. Who's in charge? Josh Allen is the other one I'm thinking of also. They also know that what they have to do in order to take their team to that next level. And Daniel Jones just does not have it. He just does not have it. You know who does have it? Mac Jones. He showed it in that game last week instead of Daniel Jones. Okay? We got a problem. But let's segue to something else.
That's a nice segue. Let's go through this real quick so we can get to our division. So let's talk about the AFC East, man. Who, top to bottom, Carl, who do you got? Is it the Bills get the throne, or is it the Patriots, the Jets, the Dolphins? I think this is an okay division this year. What's your thoughts, Carl? And then go to Manny Dogs.
This is a tough one because we talked about this actually a couple weeks ago. I don't think you were on the program that week, Steve, when we had this conversation. I'm almost coming to the conclusion that I am not going to trust any team whose quarterback is just, let's just say, medically adverse. I'll phrase it in those terms. And Buffalo has one of those guys on its roster. So I am almost assuming that there's going to be some missed games, at least one for him. And I also think that I'm not totally sure that his season last year is repeatable. I think there may be a slight market correction to his performance from last year. He'll still be good, but I'm not totally sure he's going to be as elite as he was last year. So I'm going to actually take a chance on this and take the Patriots to finish first. It won't be by much. It won't be by much. I think Buffalo won't be the 13-win team they were last year. I would bring that number down by about two, and I'll boost the Patriot number to anywhere between – I think the division will be 1-10-7. I'll give the Patriots the nod there. And then Buffalo second. Miami will be very, very competitive. I'm not totally sure if they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. I'm not totally sure how that's going to play out. If you told me that they were, then I would pick them first. But so I think overall, I think if put it this way, if Herbert was quarterbacking Miami instead of the quarterback that they drafted, they would be an AFC title contender this season. But unfortunately, they're not. They're not going to be. So I'll have Miami third and then the Jets fourth.
Okay.
Manny Dogs.
The Patriots, Mac Jones look good. Patriots, you tell me who their best receiver is because I couldn't tell you. I look at the team and I go, who is he throwing to? But I know Belichick is a genius. He figures things out. But, no, I still think the Bills win it. I think the Patriots will muster up second. I think the Miami Dolphins third. And the Jets will be pulling up the rear again.
Okay. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to disagree with you two guys. I think that the Bills are going to be the class in this division. They somehow managed to retain all of their free agents at reasonable deals. Although they got rid of John Brown, they brought in Emmanuel Sanders. They upgraded their backup quarterback. Josh Allen is going to step his game up this year. That's something you've never seen. On the defensive side, they got Tredavious White. They got I forgot the other guy. They got a nice zone-heavy scheme going on. I like them. Miami's on the rise. They got I don't know why they got rid of Kyle Van Noy, man, after 1 year. I thought he was going to be there for a minute. I think they're okay. They got a young roster that's capable of winning 10 games or something, but they're wild card at best. I'm sorry. The Patriots will be interesting, and they're going to bounce back, but I think they're a little bit in flux. I think that Bill is going to use this particular year to, you know, to check out his chess pieces. And the Jets are going to be in the bottom again. But big ups to them for signing C.J. Mosley and getting Quentin Williams re-signed as well. Steve.
Yeah, for time purposes, I actually agree with you, Chris, your order. The only thing I was wrestling back was between who finishes second and third. That was between Miami and New England. I'm going to flip a coin and go Miami. And I do agree with you. I think Buffalo still is on the ascend side of things. They're still peaking. And I said the same thing for Miami and even for the Patriots. I think they got better. And I think they all got better, to be quite honest with you. But that is going to be the order for me. Bills, Miami, New England, and the Jets. I wanted to have to save some time because we only got like 3 minutes left. But if we could summarize our division, Carl, let's go with who do you got first to fourth?
Yeah, real quick, Carl, what you got?
Boy, this is rough. I don't think the winner of the division will have a winning record this year. So
thank
I'll just
you,
sort of put that out there. if you get to eight, that'll be a miracle. Bad football is going to be played in this division this year. I'm going to take Washington because last year, I didn't realize this, 9 of the 16 games that Washington played was started by Dwayne Haskins. and they still won 7 games, which I'm still trying to figure out when you sort of put that together. I think Fitzpatrick will get them to a certain point, but I don't think he's going to play all the games this season. I think that backup that played that you saw in the playoff game will probably play at some point in the second half of the season. So I'll take them, and I'll take their defense to win 8 games and win the last game of the season to get in the playoffs. After that, I would say then Dallas, the Giants, and Philadelphia.
Manny Dog.
All right.
Yeah, man. As much as shambles as I think we're in, I'm still picking us because I'm a fucking bleed blue lunatic. So I'm picking us. Then the Redskins, the Cowboys, and the
Steelers.
Okay. Look, I can't help it, man. It's blue everywhere. I can't get rid of it.
I got you, man. But, okay, you done? Because I have to do mine real quick. We're running out
of
time,
I'm
bro.
I'm done. I leave with my heart.
Okay. Okay, real quick, Steve.
Manny better order that liquor before the start of the season.
Really, really. Washington's my clear-cut favorite, man. Even though Fitzpatrick's there, he's going to be him. Them, and I like the fact that Antonio Gibson's getting ready to break out. Okay, secondly, Dak was on his way to a goddamn record-setting season. I'm not worried. He'd be back. Amari Cooper's being overshadowed by fucking CeeDee Lamb. You'll see. Dallas will pull up second. Hey, it's about Daniel Jones with us. And last, I'm high on Jalen Hurts, and I love Devontae Smith, but nah, they're going to lick the bottom of the basement, bro. Okay, Steve.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on Washington, and I think defensively they're only going to get better. I think they have a very good, solid front seven to get the job done just to keep all the other teams away. I'm trying to be objective. It's really, like I said, about the Giants and the left tackle situation. I can't put them higher than third. They might finish last, to be quite honest with you. But the hard thing I'm saying about that is because the defense is good. Our defense is good. So
yes, yeah.
It probably could win the division, but I'm banking too much on that quarterback, so I'm going to say no. I'm going to go – you know what? I think I'm going to go – man, this is tough, man, because I think Dallas and Philly and New York, they're on the same level in so many different ways. I'm going to go third. I might shock y'all with this. Philly, I think Philly could get a game over us. I think they can. You know, Brandon Brooks is coming back. Isn't he back?
No question about it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they got Slay in the trade. Darius Slay in the trade, and they needed that. And they got, you know, Brandon Brooks back. They needed that. Remember, that killed them last year. Kelsey's still there, I believe. You know, and Jalen Hurts. And if he goes down, you still got Gardner Minshew, who's actually a decent backup. The quarterback, if one guy gets hurt, another guy's going to fill in. So I can't sleep on Philadelphia. I hate to say that, Chris. I know how you feel about Philadelphia, but I'm trying to be objective. So that's the order. I'm gonna put Dallas last. I'm going to put Dallas last. And it's not just because I'm saying, hey, I'm just thinking Philadelphia might sneak up on us and Dallas. I'm looking at it like that. Sometimes it happens like that in the NFL. Let's get some final thoughts. From Carl.
Carl, give me a line.
Yeah.
Cool. I was reading this quote by Judge the other day as we closed out. He said, September is an extension of the preseason in a lot of ways. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, teams that start out 0-2 and 0-3, like the Giants have the last couple of years, don't say that September is an extension of the preseason. And they play two games in the first 4 days of the year. If they start out 0-2, I'm not going to hear the coach come out after the game and say, oh, yeah, this is just the preseason still going on. I'm like, no, there'll be full-blown panic going on. So I'm like, wait a second, let's at least start out the season with at least one win in the first two games and not talk about it's the preseason, you know, after, you know, two games if the team's 0-2 or 0-3. That I can't go for.
C notes, ladies and gentlemen.
You have the C notes. Many dogs.
Many dogs. Let's bleed blue.
Dream, dream, dream. That's all I'm doing, man. I'm dreaming. That's all I'm doing. I just want to win. That's it. I just want to win. Okay. All right.
Hold on, Chris. We got to give this man the respect he deserves, man. Get you a copy of FULL, Coaching the Game, Teaching the Life, Apple Books. Get you a copy of that book, man. It's on Apple.
I'm yelling about it all the time, except now. Unbelievable. Manny Dogs, paid in full, ladies and gentlemen. Rule for life. All I have to say, man, is we better to Carl's point, not make this sound coming out of the gate because I'm going to be so goddamn hurt. It's going to piss me off. It really will. But also, before Steve comes back, I'd like to say check us out on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Check out the Bleed Blue page, video episodes, video highlights, video breakdown. Here's for Steve Azul to close us out.
Hey, man, you know, next week we're on 1 hour earlier. Preview at 7 p.m. We're not at the 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. We're going to be on 6 Central, 4 on the West Coast, 7 p.m. Preview versus the Broncos. And, you know, we're going to talk about, of course, we're going to have confidence picks. We're going to have our picks at the episode. We're going to have the knockout pool. Do that again. We'll have some cash winnings at the end of the season. I'll put that up. And, you know, we'll talk about Evan Engram injured in the preseason game. Is he going to come back?
Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.